All right, I want to welcome everyone to our village board meeting. It's October 16th, right at 7 o'clock. I'd ask the deputy clerk to take the roll call, please.
Trustee Brennan.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Johnson.
Here.
Trustee Bachner.
Here.
Trustee Gillis.
Here.
Trustee O'Connell. President Aducci.
Here. And then right now we want to invite Bob right into the meeting. So
correct.
If I can get a motion in a second to allow Bob to participate telephonically due to work.
He has work obligations, right. That's my understanding.
Yep.
So I move to allow Robert O'Connell to join us electronically or through video based on his employment.
Second.
Okay.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Man, it was like, no worries. We're all friends here.
Yeah. I'm sorry, guys.
You should throw your voice.
Oh.
Yes. He's catching us off guard.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. So we'll... I'd ask everyone to stand to say the Pledge of Allegiance. Kind of threw us all.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Very good. So we got assistance comments. So Maura and Mark Zinni, if this is the time. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Sure. Okay.
Yes, yes, at the
yes.
Everybody set? Okay, thank you so much for allowing me to make comment this evening. My name is Maura Zinni. My husband, Mark, and I recently purchased the home at 929 Keystone. Prior to closing on our property, the home inspection revealed serious concerns with the oak tree that is planted on our parkway. There are two trees planted very close to each other. The one in concern is located directly adjacent to the corner of the curb and driveway. This tree poses a serious safety concern for any biker or driver on Keystone. There is a significant blind spot caused by the tree. Additionally, the tree roots that are concentrated in this location due to the proximity of both trees is negatively impacting the sewer line to the street. Mark engaged the services of Davis Tree, the same company the village uses, to inspect the tree. The owner, Bob Davis of the tree service, confirmed that the tree should be removed for the following reasons: safety concerns due to the blind spot, planted too close to the other oak tree, causing both trees to experience stress, thus impacting both trees' ability to thrive in the future, major root damage to property owner and village sewer pipes, current damage to the sidewalk and the parkway driveway, future potential damage to the village curb. In addition to the concerns listed above, Bob Davis stated that back in the day, when the tree in question was planted or sprouted from a stray seed, it should have been removed once it became apparent of its proximity to the other tree and potential hazard. It is not known if this tree was actually planted by the village or if it was a sprouted from a seed that eventually grew into an adult tree. Either way, during the oversight of the village trees, the arborist at that time should have had the tree removed. We've been informed by village administration, thank you, Matt, for taking the time to look into this, that both trees are healthy and that if we want the tree removed, we must pay for the removal, pay for the past care and maintenance of the tree, and pay for a new tree to be planted somewhere in the village. We are tree lovers, and we understand why the village wants to make it very hard to have a healthy tree removed on village property. However, in this situation, the concern is regarding safety of villagers, not the health of the tree. We feel the village was negligent in allowing this tree to grow on the parkway. It was clearly not maintained properly and now poses a serious safety concern. We are aware that the village has ordinances and policies when it comes to property owner rights, responsibilities, and partnership opportunities to maintain their property. One such ordinance or policy is the 50-50 sidewalk replacement program the village offers to residents. This program encourages property owners to make sure their sidewalks are safe for pedestrians. There is most likely a review process in order to qualify. We actually took advantage of this program when we owned our house at 707 William. The village then approves the 50-50 plan with the property owner when it has been determined that the sidewalk needs replacing due to safety concerns from cracked and/or settled concrete. The village also has a partnership program with property owners for damaged sewer pipe replacement under the street. We are asking that a similar village partnership program be applied to our tree issue. The tree is a hazard, causing a safety concern for motorists and bikers. If the tree is allowed to continue to grow, the blind spot will only increase, causing a greater danger. The tree should be removed. We are requesting that the village pay half of the tree removal cost and not tack on the additional fees due to the fact that the village did not employ diligence when the tree was allowed to grow in its current position on the parkway. Thank you for your consideration. I included a few pictures there. I know that Matt had a chance to look into it and said that it's thriving. That's our concern, that it will just continue to grow and become a greater hazard.
Okay, thank you, Warren. I did ask Moore to come to the board table because this is something that she'd like us to address. And I did ask Matt to look into it for us. And I'll let Matt give his research and point of view.
Sure. So I did speak with Brian Skozik. He's our public works superintendent and a licensed arborist, as well as our interim public works director, about the situation. And they went out and visited the site to review. Ms. Cinney stated, Brian was of the opinion that the tree is healthy and the village goes to great lengths to not remove healthy trees. This tree is close to the curb and it is close to the other tree, but that's been the condition for as long as they've been planted or sprouted, and both are continue to be healthy. So they have been able to coexist. We have not had a conversation about doing a 50-50 program for trees in the past, at least to my knowledge. So it was of staff's opinion that the tree should not be removed. There are similar conditions throughout. There's some skinny parkways and a lot of driveways in town that may be similar to this case. So the concern that staff has would be to see an increase in requests and put the village in a difficult spot to have to decline those requests or see a decrease in the canopy for the village.
So, anyway, I just thought it was worth the trustees to hear the position of both the Zinnies and the village, and if there's any input that you want. I mean, we'll try to, you know, look after it with them, but wanted to get your input on this, if there is any, as to the direction you think the village should go, because I think, you know, there are some policy issues here that we need to address. So
has this tree ever been identified by the arborists who work for us as an issue?
No, and I should mention that we did attempt to reach out to Bob at Davis Tree to kind of get to talk through with him, because I understand he agreed with the concerns of the Zinnies. So we wanted to get his perspective because we did not share that opinion. We were not able to get that later last week.
Might be worth actually pursuing, if that's what you're asking, is to kind of try to work with Bob, right? He is a tree expert. I know we work with them closely as well. So that might be one thing we should close the loop on that could give us some idea of what he's thinking.
Right. I would go along with that line to follow up, because I am a little concerned about the safety issues that are being raised. So we ought to confirm what those safety issues are. And, you know, if there is some, even some, we probably should do something to help as well. So I hate for that tree to fall on somebody.
Well, I will say that the safety concern in question is not due to the health of the tree or branches falling. It's just the location of the tree in proximity to the curb and the sidewalk. That's the concern from the Zinni. So it's not necessarily an arborist would determine strictly looking at the tree and seeing branches that might be dangerous or decaying on the inside. Like typically that's what the arborist would be opining on. Okay. In this case, the safety issue that's being cited is in regard to the location and its impact on the cars pulling out of the driveway. I believe that's
is that correct. Okay. I thought maybe because it was too close to the sidewalk, it may not have the support. I mean, during some of these storms, I see where the trees fall over. So that's what I thought the issue was.
I mean, if you look at the pictures, it looks like, you know, definitely the trees coming onto the apron.
Yeah.
What about our concern regarding the sewer pipes? Is that an issue, or does it need to be remediated? Or,
well, in terms of its impact on the village sewer, no, that was not raised as a concern. Yeah. It's as Attorney Molina mentions, there it is a condition throughout the village because of extensive tree network. We do have a lot of impact on residential sewer, private sewer lines too, and that's why there's a program in place to address that. But in terms of impact on our sewer line, that was not raised by Public Works.
So you're saying it hasn't been checked yet? We don't know if it's a problem or not for the
bench. No, I don't believe it is a problem is what.
Oh, okay.
So you're saying our position from an administration staff position is that it's not a.
Correct.
Doesn't impact our sewer system. Okay. That's what you're saying.
Okay.
I'm trying to think if we have a commission that looks at this kind of stuff and can give us a recommendation. I don't see it as necessarily, it's not sustainability. I don't see it really as zoning. I mean, because what I'm seeing the bullet points from the resident, like, you know, safety concern due to blind spot. I hear that, but we haven't been there to like assess what that really means. That's an opinion of the resident. And it seems like some of this needs to be fleshed out a little bit more.
I mean, there is no commission, and this is definitely a staff issue, Public Works, but staff administration.
So what we have that now is our recommendation from our staff saying, based on our current, you know, ordinances, the recommendation is no action.
That's
correct. And we can collect that other opinion from Bob Davis or another license, maybe a neutral review, and I could bring that. Share that with the board.
That would be good. Yeah. Just, you know, looking at the items in this letter that was written and read, you know, major root damage to the and damage to village sewer pipes. Is that really accurate? If we can get more information, that's not. I mean, this could be fact. This could be opinion. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it's the last four bullets that I'm thinking our guy can look at to see, because I'm thinking stress, trees of stress, does that mean they become weak? Possible, what I thought was the issue of falling over. I'm concerned about the root damage too, and our village sewer pipes. I understand what you said, Matt. I'm not disputing what you're saying. But maybe big, and damage to the sidewalk, parkway, damage to the village curb. If your residents complaining about the sidewalks not leveling off, and I'm not blaming the village, don't get me wrong, but also if this is going to contribute to that, maybe it's something we should look at. That's all with our expert.
Understood.
I also think we have to look at it in context to any other trees that might be like, you know, of like situation, because I do want to protect our tree canopy. It's all, it's a very important part of our village and it makes us who we are.
Right. Yeah, I would add that it's really close to the apron. And to me, that to me is the biggest issue of, you can argue, well, what came first? But I don't think it matters. The house is there and the residents want to use the house. And to me, the tree's right there by the apron. So it doesn't seem real safe to me, just backing in or backing out. But that's my observation at looking at the picture.
Yeah. I just see a crack in that apron too.
Yeah, I mean, but, I think it's going to just continue to grow that way. So I would add that to whatever expert we're going to talk to.
Okay.
Just why, you know. We can move the apron, but that would see it seem. So. Where do you move it to? So we got a house right,
there's
next
not
to
a lot
it.
Of space there.
There's not a lot of space there. So again, I think it's an issue where, yeah, it's a tree that's been there, but you know, the house is, people got to live, make good use of their sure. living conditions. So, all right. All right, so I guess what we're saying is, as a group, we're going to give Matt a shot at, you know, talking with Bob, looking at this again, at both the condition of the tree from the perspective of some of these points that you've made, and I would add just how close it is to the apron or this, you know, the driveway.
Will do.
If I could,
and then we'll get back to you guys on it. I know you're Bob. Did you want to say something?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Again, I think we need to be very careful here because I think this situation exists in a lot of places in the
Bob,
building.
If you could just wait 1 second, we need to turn the volume up.
We can't hear you, but
hang on, Bob.
Presentation or the mic levels?
Is that any better?
No, Bob, is there any way you can increase the volume where you're at
mine's as loud as it can be.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
No, it's muted.
We're straining to hear you, Bob. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Oh, not. Okay.
Can you hear me or not?
You're really, really faint in terms of, we can't, either you talk up loud or
closer to your computer. Yes, chat.
You hear me now? Is it any better?
A little bit. We can give it a shot.
You know, man, I think I'm going to, let me see if I can find the number. I'll try to call in, but I'll pass for right now.
Okay. He's going to pass for right now, he said.
All right.
It did sound like he was just going to say, like, we have to be very careful.
Careful. Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
About residents starting something like this. And...
Thank you, Erica.
Oh.
He said, thank you, Erica.
Yeah. Or you can always send an email to.
Or can you type in the chat? Do we have a chat?
Yeah, type in the chat.
Type
too.
In the chat.
Sorry, Bob.
Oh, there is a chat. There's somebody.
That was somebody else earlier.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I gotta make sure we do that remote.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. All right.
Okay.
So, we'll capture what Bob had to say as well. But I think we'll take another shot at this, look at this, and we'll get back to you. Hopefully, when's a good time? I mean, I don't want to make it too long.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
Yes, hopefully by the end of the week. I'll be able
to... What, is that good enough for you?
Okay. That will be fine. I'll reach out to Bob and make sure you get hold.
Yes.
That. Okay. Okay.
Okay, that would be good.
Great, that's perfect. I know Brian had reached out to him Wednesday or Thursday after we talked about it and just didn't connect. So thank you.
All right, thank you guys. Thanks. All right.
Welcome. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Then we got one person that's on Zoom. Renee, are you there?
The box is there. I don't see a picture, but
it's him. Renee?
There's a Renee, but
okay, Renee is unmuted. Can we?
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, it's him. There we go. All right.
No, there we go.
All right, can you hear me? Hi.
Yeah.
All right, I have two separate issues. Should I cite them together or separate?
You whatever your choice. Dealer's choice. Okay.
So really quickly, more discussions about trees. I would just wanted to follow up on our discussion regarding removing all ribbons that are on trees and are on parkways. Residents of River Forest should not showcase their political affiliation by decorating trees that are considered public property. I cite the village ordinance 813.6. No person shall, in connection with any property of the park district, drive any nail, staple, or attach or fasten any wire, rope, or device to any tree or plant, or tie or hitch any animal to any tree, plant, or bush. So I know that a lot of people are politically involved with different world affairs, whether it was Ukraine or Russia or Israel, but we should not be using public property to showcase our political affiliation. Residents should be able to decorate their fences, their backyards, front yards, but not public property. And we should just basically follow our own rules. So that's the first. I don't know if anyone has any discussion or comment on this, or I can move on to my second point.
Go ahead to your second point.
Okay, so during the last traffic committee meeting, Chairman Reese asked for a show of hands of how many people in the room resided on Bonnie Brae and how many liked the barriers, that cul-de-sac. And there was a resounding yes. 13 out of 14 houses responded yes to keep them up. But then when Chairman Reese asked the same question for the people of Clinton, it was a resounding no. So it was very clear that all the people on Bonnie Brae wanted the cul-de-sac. Commissioner Pat further noted that the overwhelmingly majority of letters and emails that were received in the past two to three weeks at the time, they mirrored that same vote. What we were asking is that we want to be exactly like Oak Park, mirror the same east side of Harlem, because that northwest corner of Oak Park is closed off by a cul-de-sac. And we want the same thing for River Forest, the same thing for Bonnie Brae. Later, Commissioner Gillis suggested to remove the barriers on Clinton and keep the barriers on Bonnie Brae so that you give the people what they want. And everyone in the room seemed to be okay with that plan, because that's exactly what everyone wanted. Later, it was discussed and determined to ask for a fresh new study by the current engineering group for that northeast quadrant. And everyone liked the idea. But all of a sudden, in a change of heart, a motion was brought to remove both barriers and start fresh with a new study. So I'm suggesting that we amend this recommendation, where we keep the cul-de-sac on Bonnie Brae and north, so that we give the people of Bonnie Brae what they want and what they've been asking for the past 2 years, while in parallel conducting a fresh study to address Clinton, Williams, Monroe, and the alleyways. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Renee. And just so you know, next week, Monday, this topic will be discussed. So, thank you for the comments. I know that we are listening intently on all the issues and comments that the residents have. You know, we want to do it right and right for as many people as we can get it right for. So if you have time next week, we'll be discussing it probably in detail. So, and as far as the tree policy, I did ask Lance to look into our ordinance and our policy and look at what other neighbors or other communities are doing in such using their trees, perhaps for statements and what's happening. So I'll let you take it from there.
So the commentator is correct in that they're village trees. They're in the public right of way. They can be removed because there are trees. The problem is it's common for people to put these things on trees, and any suggestion that there'll be across the board removal of all these things, there are some where the families have children that are in the military, and there's a tradition about tying things on a tree. It can get very tricky from a popularity standpoint, I guess. But the cleanest thing is to remove all attachments, all signs in the right of way, anything on a village tree, just remove it, and it can be complaint driven. Having said that, if a policy is desired to allow it, it brings us back to the flagpole issue in the sense that this is public property. And if we allow some kind of ribbons or attachments to ever be posted to our trees with knowledge, it has to be content neutral. There are some ways to try to do that, to make it limited to personal sorts of memorials and things like that, as opposed to political statements. But having said that, that can be a tricky line as well. Mm-hmm. So it raises a host of issues if you want to try to allow it in certain cases with knowledge. Otherwise, it's the simple thing would be to enforce that you can read the code now as not allowing this kind of thing. And the village is already a complaint driven. We don't have people scouring every block every day. And as reports come in, the ribbons can be removed and it can be posted that people are reminded that these are village trees and people aren't supposed to attach things to them. So that's my statement on that. Happy to answer any questions.
All right. It seems to me that the latter seems reasonable. We know we should be following it, and it's a reminder that we should be following it.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a takeaway, is to follow our ordinance. Yeah. You know, we've in the past allowed it for certain occasions. And you're right. We need to be mindful of what our ordinance is. So if that's what everyone is.
And thinking, I guess to that end, we also would need to remember that we're not supposed to be putting yard signs on the parkways also. And we just need reminders of that, you know. Sorry. It happens all the time. There's a, you know, Fenwick entrance test, sign on the parkway. We just have to remember, we've got to put it on our own property. But
yeah, it's so interesting, Katie, because I think we more often think of that, you know, signs on the parkway, because even during election cycle, you know, yeah, people are like, hey, you can't do that, versus ribbons on the tree. It's so weird. So, but you're right. I mean, that's something we ought to keep thinking about.
I think also, just for a point of clarity, this also applies to holiday ornaments. Am I correct?
Correct. Yes.
Which has also been
a source of controversy in some communities. You'd be surprised. Some people were very attached to being able to put their lights on the parkway tree, and there were great traditions that were overlooked for a long time. And so, yes, it would apply to that as well.
All right.
I agree.
Good way to continue to remind ourselves. All right. Thank you, Renee.
Thank you, Renee.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh. Okay. Oh. Hey, Gary.
I see you.
Hi, Gary.
Can you hear me okay?
No, but speak if you could speak up. It's our system.
Is that better?
Just go ahead. We're listening.
Well, hang on one second. Let me see if I can turn this up. Okay. How about that? Is that better?
Yeah.
That's better. Yeah.
Okay, there we go. All right. Yeah, I've attended or listened to the audio version of all the Traffic and Safety Commission meetings this year, have read the studies that have been done, went back even to the 2019 village plan. And what I was trying to find was the genesis of this, the idea of putting barricades up on initially there were five streets that were considered in the northeast quadrant. By the way, just so you know, I live at Clinton and Lake Street, so I'm not directly impacted by this, but I use the businesses there. I've got two dentists there and Cassidy Tire, which I've used for years. Mm-hmm. And I was curious that Cassidy had not responded in any of the meetings. You know, people have asked. Cassidy never has not responded at all. So I went up and asked, I guess the assistant manager, I'm not sure. And he said, yeah, we're very much against it. It really harms our business. And they had raised it with the Addison headquarters, but I don't know if you've heard from Addison or not. But they're unhappy with it. And it really impacts their business, as it does the dentist offices there and other businesses on Clinton in particular. And the thing that was curious to me is that in none of the meetings that I've attended or documentation that I've read, do I see any direct discussion of the problem at the intersection. This is all about avoiding the intersection at two state routes, Harlem and North Avenue, which is a very busy intersection, and it's only going to get worse. The hospital's going in with a yet undecided facility on where Sears was, and it's going to be even busier. And so there's been no discussion of ways to ameliorate that intersection. Instead, what they've done is, you know, and even the commission admitted last time, they kind of went overboard in putting the barricades up. And what they were going to do is back off that and do another traffic study on the numbers to see what the cut through traffic actually looked like, or the corner avoidance, if you will. So that's kind of where we are. And I am dead set against the barricades. I don't believe we should be like Oak Park at all. You know, we're not trying to create a Berlin Wall here to barricade off River Forest. I think that's the wrong approach.
Okay, thank you, Gary. We appreciate your comments. Again, as I said to Renee, next week we'll discuss this in detail and try to make decisions to for the neighbors. So,
right. I've got a draft letter that I'm putting together that I will send to the village expressing my concerns more formally. Is that meeting on Monday, is that open yes. to the public or no?
Yes, it's public. Yes, of course. Yeah. So, yes, next Monday. Yep. Feel free to write your comments. That would be great.
Wonderful. I will be there. Is there anything else you'd like from me?
Nope. That's all. Really appreciate your input.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Gary. All right. So that concludes the citizens' comments, and we'll move on to elected official comments and announcements. So we'll go with Trustee Bachner.
Hello. I'd like to start with a land acknowledgement. So as we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on lands that was once and still is inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, the Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. We'll remember our nation's history and honor the Native peoples, stewards of this land that was colonized. And remember that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. I was fortunate enough to be asked to participate in a Latinx roundtable talk earlier this month with the Village of Oak Park, their township, and the Oak Park Library, and the Oak Park Latinx Planning Committee around prosperity, power, and progress. We had people throughout the community, chef from the owner of Americas, a dentist over at on Lake Street, and various other people who are part of the community, and just talking about how do we connect as a Latinx community, because it feels like it's very like partially, you know, not connected very much. So it was a wonderful conversation. I thank the DEI director over at the Village of Oak Park for spearheading this. And it seems like there's more to come out of those conversations. I do want to say that my heart goes out to anyone who has family or loved ones in the Middle East right now, with everything going on. And we are all thinking of you. And I think that's it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Erica. Lisa?
First of all, I want to say congratulations to the fire department and police department for an awesome event on Saturday. They had an open house. The weather did not cooperate, but I think all the children that were there were fine with the bad weather, and they had a great time. I also want to thank Beth Chang, who is a commissioner for the Village of River Forest Sustainability Commission. She's been there since the beginning, and she is stepping down after, I think, 7 years of service. And she will stay on board until we have a new commissioner in place and there is a proper transition. I want to, she's an awesome volunteer. She still is and will continue to engage in the village. Focused on trees. That's her passion right now. And last but not least, I want to do a belated congrats to the Kiwanis of Forest Park. They are 100 years old about a month ago, and they did have a celebration, and the mayor of Forest Park was there as well as other dignitaries. And it's amazing to think of service organizations that have been around for a century, and we thank them for their support of children, for their donation of time and talent, and we wish them another 100 years of success. Thank you.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Lisa. Good to know. Rez?
And just do want to acknowledge that both Kathy and I, we participated in the age-friendly consortium for the mayor's caucus. We had a presentation on age-friendly communities, actually creating cohorts, grants to assist other municipalities to become age-friendly. So that was great. Then the second item, I wanted to also join in. I know both Trustee Bachner and also Kathy, you sent out the village in the village newsletter earlier today, condemning the violence in the Middle East, consistent with what we did with Ukraine and giving them our prayers and sympathies for the families who passed. We do the same for our friends in the Middle East and the families there who are suffering all these tragedies. So my hearts go out to them as well. So that's
thank
it.
Rest. Thank you. Katie.
Thank you. I missed last meeting because I was traveling, but I did listen to the audio of it. And I was sorry that I missed last meeting because it was Jeff Loster's last meeting. And Jeff, I think, has been an exemplary employee with River Forest for over 10 years. So I'm sorry that I missed a chance to say this to him directly, but I have appreciated his professionalism and responsiveness and his knowledge. And I'm sorry to see him go. As our director of public works and department services. And before that, he was our village engineer. So I echo Lisa and Erica's comments from last meeting because I heard that on the audio and just wanted to add my comments to that as well. I thought he did an excellent job and he will be missed and will be hard to fill his shoes. Then also this past weekend, I was able to participate in a check reveal for one of the Lemonade charity recipients, which is a charity that goes by the name of 4x4x4. I think I mentioned this at one of our meetings before. This is a group that sets up internships for youth 4 hours a day, 4 days a week for 4 weeks during the summer. And they received a check from Lemonade for over $10,000, which is going to allow them to set up more internships for more youth this next summer. And I've been talking with Matt and the director of 4x4x4 about trying to get one or two or more interns from 4x4x4 into the village.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'll just add my thoughts and heartfelt concern and acknowledgement of what's going on in the Middle East and how it impacts so many of us. And you all said it better than I could. It's just very, very difficult and very disturbing. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
I have no statements. I do also echo all the statements on the with regard to the sentiments on in the Middle East. I would also say that I would encourage residents that are in support of it, please don't get discouraged by tree discussion and feel free to celebrate as you will in your yard. So,
yeah, good point.
True.
Yeah. Thanks. Bob?
Yes, I just, I can't say any better than it. Everyone else said. Our thoughts and prayers are with the people in the Middle East. And as Lisa said, I also attended the open house on Saturday. And in addition to the police and fire department, I believe we had a couple of public works employees out there. So congratulations, another great team effort.
Great. Thanks, Bob. I don't have any more to add other than, you know, what others have said. We did go to the West Central Municipal Conference. I think that was within the last board meeting. Seems so long ago. So that was nice to attend that dinner and be with all of our other colleagues around our neighborhood. So it's always good. Also, as others have mentioned, I did send out a through the e-newsletter a note on the crisis in the Middle East, and I hope all the residents will read it and, you know, do what they feel is necessary to kind of embrace the issues that are going on. So with that, that's all I have to add. I'll then we'll go on to the consent agenda. So if I can have the village trustee move and second a consent agenda A through G.
Motion to approve a consent agenda items A through G.
Second.
Second.
All right. If I can ask, make sure you read it. Okay, thank you.
So item A, Village Board of Trustees meeting minutes, September 25th, 2023. 5B, monthly department reports. 5C, accounts payable, September 2023, $2,639,855.98. Item 5D, financial report, September 2023. Item 5E, Administration Department Report. Item 5F, Award of Contract. FY 2024 Tree Trimming Program, Davis Tree Care, $47,469.50. Item 5G, Intergovernmental Agreement with Cook County, ADA Crosswalk Upgrades. Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
And Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We have no items on the consent items for separate considerations. We have no recommendations of boards, commissions, and committees. We have no unfinished business at this time. However, we have new business. So I think we currently need a motion to accept the village annual. Before Rosie starts, let's get a motion to accept comprehensive financial report in a second.
I'd like to make a motion to accept the village's annual comprehensive financial report for fiscal year ended April 30th, 2023.
Second.
Second.
Thank you. All right, Rosie.
Good evening, everyone. Great to see everyone. Tonight, we are happy to present to you the 2023, the fiscal year 2023 annual comprehensive financial report. I'm going to briefly discuss some of the financial highlights that are included in my memo with the report. And then after I go through some of the key points, Martha Trotter from Sickage will also go through the actual report and give you some highlights in that. The general fund, a summary of the general fund revenues is on page one of my memo. Overall, actual revenues exceeded the budget revenues by $2,738,480, or 15.22%. Some of the reasons for this large excess or surplus: property tax revenues were higher than budgeted due to the timing of property tax collections. We received the first installment of the second installment of the 2021 levy in the fall of 2022, and then the first installment of the 2022 levy in the spring. That the spring collections are based on the prior year, so it all is dependent on when we receive them. If you notice, state income tax receipts were $343,000 above the budgeted amount. this revenue source continues to exceed projections. Sales tax and non-home rural sales tax revenues saw increases due to the rates of inflation and the increase in the consumer price index. These revenues are all based on consumer spending and the cost of goods and services. Now, if you look at page 2 of my memo that explains, has the expenditures per department, the general fund expenditures were just slightly above what we had budgeted for the fiscal year. Boards and commissions were less than budgeted due to the consulting services being less than what was actually budgeted. Same with legal services. The fire department budget expenditures exceeded the budget primarily due to the GEMT expenses that offset the revenues that we received that we also saw large increases in. The other department expenditures were either lower than budgeted or in line with the budgeted amounts. Contributions to the police and fire pension funds are less than the prior year. The decrease was based on the last year I explained that the actuarial assumptions changed made by the actuarial consultant, and that reflected the amount that was levied. So the budget reflects the amount of the 2022 property tax levy, which is from the approved pension funding policy. Actual expenditures are less because they include collections, like I said, from the first installment of the 2021 levy and the second installment of the 2021 and first installment of the 2022. The chart on page 3 shows the total revenues and expenditures for the general fund and the impact on fund balance, which is what we look at when we determine how the village's finances are. The fund balance increased just over $2 million for the fiscal year. The village policy requires that the unassigned fund balance plus the amount of restricted working cash be at least 25% of the subsequent year's expenditures. This amount increased to 44.3% from the 38.7% in the prior fiscal year after there was a prior year adjustment. The prior year adjustment was because of an accounting change. The deposit with Intergovernmental Risk Management, or IRMA, which is our public entity risk pool, for accounting purposes, it was reclassified on the governmental fund balance sheet to deferred inflows of resources and is the primary reason for the decrease in the non-spendable fund balance, which to all of you really just means we moved it. This increase in fund balance is due to reductions of non-essential purchases by all departments and increases in revenues that we've discussed earlier. A quick note on the water and sewer fund highlights. The chart on page 4 of my memo summarizes that. The water and sewer fund net position increased just shy of $1.2 million. This is due to water revenues. Actually, water revenues were slightly less than what we budgeted, but that's based on consumption and weather conditions, even though we did raise rates last June to cover the 5% increase in the cost of the City of Chicago water and to fund future operating and capital plans. So I encourage you all to read the transmittal letter and the management's discussion and analysis located at the beginning of the report. This annual report includes a great deal of information, and those documents provide a description of the financial statements and summarize and explain the village's financial activities during the year. This report and the results of this report are the result of a well-functioning team that admirably weathered financial challenges and staffing changes. Staff's diligence in maintaining the accounting records and careful and conscientious attention on all levels of village management and operational staff made this possible. Thanks to Matt Walsh for his leadership and Kiki Boyer and her staff for their hard work. Now I would like to introduce you to Martha from Sickage, and she will go through the report. Unless you have any questions for me right now, or we can ask after she goes.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rose.
Thank you. Good evening. Thank you for having me here tonight. So I will be presenting the results of the fiscal year 2023 audit. Thank you, Rosie, for the introduction and for the detailed information. I'll try to be brief. There are quite a few reports that we issue as part of the annual audit, including the annual comprehensive financial report, the board communication, the management letter, which is issued in accordance with Illinois compiled statutes. We issue a TIF examination report, the IMRF allocation report, which presents the information on the village's IMRF plan as allocated to the village and the library, as well as in accordance with Illinois compiled statutes, the GATA report, which presents information on grant expenditures for the fiscal year at for state and federal funds expended. I'll be focusing on the annual comprehensive financial report and briefly touch on the board communication information as well. First and foremost, I do want to acknowledge all of the hard work that goes into preparing for an audit. We do ask for a significant amount of information, and in order to be able to issue our opinion on the annual comprehensive financial report in accordance with generally accepted auditing standards, there's a lot of testing and work that goes into it. So the hard work and preparation that goes into providing us the information that we are required in order to complete our testing and analysis, it's a lot of effort, and it's in addition to the day-to-day operations of the village. So we're extremely grateful for the professionalism and information that's provided to us, everything provided to us on a timely basis in order to be able to issue the reports in accordance with state deadlines. The village is required to file to have the financial statements issued within 6 months of the fiscal year end. So that would be the end of October. So I do want to acknowledge all of that effort that goes into the preparation. The purpose of our audit procedures is to obtain a reasonable assurance about whether the financial statements as a whole are free from material misstatement. On pages 1 through 4 of the annual comprehensive financial report, you'll find the independent auditor's report. I am pleased to be able to present a clean, unmodified opinion on the village's financial statement for the fiscal year ended April 30th, 2023. That is the highest level of assurance we can provide with respect to the accuracy and fairness of the information presented. As I noted, our audit procedures were completed in accordance with generally accepted auditing standards. In addition to that, due to the level of grant funding, grant expenditures during the fiscal year, there was also a requirement to perform procedures in accordance with generally accepted governmental auditing standards. And the report associated with that is following the independent auditor's report on pages 5 and 6 of the annual comprehensive financial report. The key items to note there, had there been any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies to report, those would be listed in that section of the report. However, based on our testing and procedures, we came across no such items to report, and we had no instances of noncompliance to report. As Rosie noted, the management discussion and analysis and the transmittal letter, which are included in the introductory section and following the independent auditor's report, those would be some great sections of the report to review. That's prepared by the finance department and provides a great deal of context to assist you in reviewing and reading the financial statements, as well as providing some additional comparative analysis that's not included in the basic financial statements themselves. So it gives a little bit more detail as to not just what the balances were, but what led to those changes and variances. The basic financial statements are following the management discussion and analysis beginning on page 7, and that includes the village's statement of net position and statement of activities, which are presented on a full accrual basis of accounting. Those are presented for governmental activities in total, so for all of the village's governmental funds, as well as for business type activities. The full accrual basis of accounting includes the long-term assets and liabilities of the village, so that would incorporate the capital assets net of any accumulated depreciation, net pension liabilities, OPEB liability, and long-term debt activity of the village. Following the statement of net position and statement of activities, you'll find the governmental fund financial statements. The governmental fund financial statements are presented on a modified accrual basis of accounting, so more in line with what you're used to reviewing on a month basis. That does not include those long-term assets and liability information. The governmental fund statements are presented for each major fund individually and in total for the non-major aggregate remaining funds. There's also further information in the subsequent following to the footnotes to the financial statements for what makes up the balances of those individual non-major funds, as well as budget to actual information for each of the village's budgeted funds. In the board communication, this is where we would issue any, as also describe any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies had we come across any. As I noted during our testing, there were no such items to address. The key information in the board communication that I wanted to point out is we also had no issues with management and no disagreements, no issues that arose throughout the course of the audit that would prevent us from completing our audit procedures. And also there was one change in accounting principle that was implemented for the fiscal year. That's GASB Statement 87, which is addressed first in the independent auditor's report and also noted in the board communication. So that was one change that impacted the financial statement presentation for how leases are accounted for and recorded and reported in the financial statements that did minimally impact the balances of the financial statements, but is more of a change in presentation to those lease assets and lease liabilities. Also, as Rosie noted, there was one prior period adjustment related to the presentation of the IRMA deposits, and that was simply a correction of moving from non-spendable fund balance to deferred inflow of resources, so presenting it as a liability rather than within the fund balance of the village. Those were the only two adjustments that came up throughout the course of the audit, so one being an implementation of new accounting policy and one being a correction of presentation. What that lets you know as the board is that when you're reviewing the monthly financial statements, you can rely on those, as we had no significant material adjustments to the fund financial statements directly outside of those two items. That tells you that the information we received to audit was in line with what's presented in the annual comprehensive financial report, so you can rely on that information to make your financial decisions. And at this time, I can address any questions.
Good. Any questions?
No, just maybe a comment, or maybe it is a question. It's just generally, is there anything, it sounds like there's nothing we need to worry about. All right, it's a joke.
Does Rosie need to step out of the room? No.
Nope. No, everything, as I noted, we were provided everything on a timely basis. And just the two adjustments that were proposed, one of them being an implementation of a new standard. Even the GASB 68 and 75 adjustments, which are common to see annually, those are completed by the village and provided to us. So we received those adjustments prior to receiving the trial balances to audit. So there's a lot of work that goes into preparing those for us. So no issues.
Okay. Thank you.
Good. Yeah. Great. Thanks. Yeah. Great audit. Thank you, Rosie.
Thank you, Rosie.
And team, because and Kiki and the rest of all of you. I mean, it's real important to get a clean bill of health here from an audit standpoint. So I appreciate all your efforts toward that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, we always like, you know,
congratulations.
Her bakes against the wall on stuff. So well, thank you very much for presenting and giving us the confidence that we're looking for. So thanks.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah.
That's all, Rosie?
That's it?
Okay. All right. Yeah. Great presentation. Yeah. I mean, you know, the highlights are exactly what I hoped for and expected. Yeah. To me, that you touched on it in terms of, you know, some of the even some of the staff turnover. I mean, we're still resilient, and we end up on the good side, and it's because we have. I think, you know, our principles and our values remain the same. Our goals and our strategy remain the same, and we hire great people. So the best and the brightest. So I'm real happy and pleased. Thank you, Matt and team, Jessica, everyone here, Trish, our chiefs, our deputy chiefs, and all of everybody that, you know, help us day in and day out to keep our communities safe and fun. So thank you. Thank you so much. Anybody else want to comment? So if no other comments, this is pretty straightforward. We've got a great audit report. I would say, well, let's take the vote to accept it.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee Bochner?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
And Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you. I think that should conclude our regular session. We will go into executive session. Mm-hmm. So need a motion to go into executive session.
Motion to enter into executive session pursuant to 5 ILCS 120/2C12 and 11 to discuss the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees, collective negotiating matters between the public body and its employees or their representatives in pending litigation. The Village Board will adjourn after executive session and will not return to open session.
Second.
Okay.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Bochner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Okay, we'll move in. I'll give you a chance to kind of take a 2-minute break.